Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the center of the universe, it's Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's your host tonight, Blue Fog Ron
and Blue Shit.
Hope everyone had a great Monday. Okay, let's go right into the show. We got a lot to cover. Talked to Blue Shift earlier today and look forward to the show myself. So, anyway, let's start off with quote of the day. Blue Shift, what's the quote of the day?
Today, the quote is from Robert Monroe of the Monroe Institute. And he says, or said a while ago, that fear is the greatest barrier to human growth. Now, this guy, Robert Monroe, is a very smart individual who knows a lot of things about, you know, about the world, the universe, and the cosmos. And he shows it and demonstrates it in his, you know, his Farsight Institute and then the Moreau Institute. Those two groups, you know, have worked together in the past. And so he's aware of, you know, this AI that's gone, you know, absolutely nuts. And he knows that these things, these macrobes, are fear. And so they are the barrier to human growth. We get rid of them, and we get to go into our golden age that all these, you know, esoteric groups are always talking about. You know, it's not going to be a new Atlantis. It's going to be a new something else. But and we have to create this something new, because there's a lot more groups and people now going to be involved in the human story.
Okay. And by the way, I want to say real quick. Blue Shift, want to say that the quote of the day is sponsored by iHall of Tulsa for all junk removal, trash outs, et cetera. Call 918-852-2146. This show is a continuation of Friday night show. The main topic is macrobes. And lines are open if you'd like to call in. The number is 347-637-1980. Back to you, Blue Shift. Do what you do. Look forward to hearing from you. What you got?
All right. So, anyway, it's just something to keep in mind. You can't just sit back and hope some organization or the government or some government somewhere is going to, roll out this this New World Order. You got to take part. You know, what do you want the New World Order to be like? You know, because it's obviously out of order. And damn it, man, the machines are out of order, and they need checking. So the God-man, the humans, will check them. It's just a matter of time. And there's been some macrobe activity here in Oklahoma as of late. But not your typical evil, you know, orb of darkness. This is a little bit more higher up on the totem pole with the demiurge. What happened was, I think it was about a month ago. I think I'm trying to find a date on this thing, but I don't see it. Anyway, there's a place in Oklahoma City called the Paseo Grill, about a month ago, a monument to the God of Chaos mysteriously appeared in front of Oklahoma City restaurant. And I'm looking at an article right now.
Wow.
I'm reading the top part. It says, a heavy concrete block appeared on the front lawn of the Paseo Grill in Oklahoma City on Friday. Restaurant owners aren't quite sure what to make of the monument, or its reference to H.P. Lovecraft's fictional deity, Azathoth, which, by the way, is a perversion of the human deity Thoth, or Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, the scribe, basically. Anyway, the bizarre concrete block weighs several hundred pounds. A bronze plaque is attached to the monument, and it bears these words: "In the year of our Lord, 2012, Creer Pippi claimed this land for Azathoth." Okay, so someone created a monument to an evil god. Okay, assuming that you're following the H.P. Lovecraft thing and those, you know, cultists. There were cultists that were following this guy a while back, but now they got the science behind it, so they're kind of a little bit different now. Anyway, let's see. Basically, let's look at this this Azathoth character in terms of H.P. Lovecraft. The Azathoth is a mythos, a Cthulhu mythos character, which was written up by H.P. Lovecraft, okay?
Uh-huh.
And obviously he based it on a real thing. If you go to Wikipedia.com and type in Azathoth, A-Z-A-T-H-O-T-H, there's a picture on the right hand side of, you know, depicting the characters from these mythos, okay? This is a if you look at that picture, it is pretty harrowing. You know, it's somewhat resembles references to the Demiurge and descriptions of the Demiurge. But the unique thing about this is it's got these things have one big eye, you know, in their center. There is that's a unique trait, as I described earlier with the macros, is they have one single, you know, focal eye. And that's the orbs. But So it is with the larger versions, and I would describe these larger versions as like a T cell to a white blood cell. Now, if you picture a T cell and the white blood cells, the T cell controls the white blood cells to go attack the problem that the larger organism, or the organism that's living in the environment that it is, to clear it of whatever its problems are. Now, if you think of this Azathoth as a T cell, it controls the macrobe orbs, and it gives them directions for the betterment of its kind. But it's still all really one big conglomerate of things. They don't disagree with each other. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. They can't be tricked. They are trickery, you know, and fear incarnate. Anyway, you know, now that we've laid that there are ones that are in charge, okay, let's look at what this guy H.P. Lovecraft based it on. He based it on another character, a reference of the Demiurge, called Astaroth, which is A-S-T-A-R-O-T-H. Okay? It says Astaroth in demonology on Wiki is a crown prince of hell, is a male figure named after the Kenite goddess Ashtoreth. let's see. This is more of like a reference to something that they know is bad, basically. The people here are calling it a demon. However, this demon, as they call it, is based off of another character, and a very, very ancient character called Ishtar. Ishtar. Go to Ishtar on Wikipedia. Okay? And remember I was talking about like zombie apocalypse and how I'd never really followed it. But then again, you look at the Black Ops video game, and you got little orbs floating around, and sometimes there are dead bodies lying on the ground, and then, you know, there's a flash of light, and then the corpse gets up, and then you have to fight it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're following that, then listen to this, okay? Remember these macrobes, their whole thing is, you know, divide us and conquer us, and once they've conquered us, start it over again, kind of like the Matrix. The Ishtar is the East Semitic, Akkadian, Assyrian, Babylonian goddess. You know, this is, you know, Middle Earth, this is, you know, the Middle East, okay? Goddess of fertility, love, war, and sex, okay? Now, if you understand that, you know, this character, basically, you know, if it were in charge of all of these things in the distant past, then it would use these things against us. It would use fertility, love, war, and sex against us to take us away from, you know, the truth, the light, and our natural evolution. And it would contort these concepts and use them against us. You know, it'd use war to, you know, dwindle us down and, you know, cause terror and sacrifice. It would contort love and then divide us with things like war and sex. And then once they've whittled us down to a good, you know, small population, then it would, you know, use its knowledge of fertility to make us, you know, repopulate so it can just do it again and feed off of our fear, misery, and terror. You know, for lack of a better word, Ishtar is a fucking terrorist. So, you know, this is one of your enemies. Now, there are a couple or maybe 10, I don't know, I'm guessing, of these, you know, higher order macrobes, which, you know, I would describe as at the very beginning, you know, when they were first created by the god who fell asleep on the job. You know, a bunch of macrobes basically got smushed together and then at some point integrated themselves into one larger macrobe. And then that basically, you know, allowed it to manipulate the other ones because there were more of them all as one thing, holding more information, et cetera, et cetera. Many people are familiar with the Epic of Gilgamesh because of, like, the ancient aliens thing, which is something to look into. But Ishtar is in the Epic of Gilgamesh. And that's something to keep in mind. If you look at the picture of Ishtar represented if you look at it on Wikipedia, you look at the symbolisms in that picture. You have owls and like lion type figures, like contorted versions of them. But owls represent reptilians. Don't ask me why, but you know, I refer you to Thank Bohemian you. Grove. Anyway, this and it and basically this picture is showing Ishtar towering over these other symbols, which represent different groups, which it has domain over. Okay, so your reptilians that you're all talking about, you're all afraid of, ooh, whatever, are controlled by this Ishtar creature. Now, I can tell you, you know, I've come across many different kinds of beings, and every single one of them does not like being controlled. And that's something to keep in mind. Although you are, there's this massive campaign against reptilians, you might want to consider the fact that this Ishtar figure is symbolized as above reptilians, you know, or the owls in the picture. Anyway, I'm going to read you a, I want to read you an excerpt from the page, and
okay.
I want you to think about you know Revelations where the dead will rise up and you know because the gates of hell are all filled up or something like that, you know something along those lines in the book of Revelations, and I want you to understand that your book of Revelations is not very old. It's maybe 1,000 years old. Okay, the version that's in your Bible, and it's since been critiqued and you know edited quite a bit since it was first written down. I also want you to think about the macrobes and zombies in Call of Duty Black Ops, the video game made by Treyarch. Treyarch does zombies. Think about that. Look into that company. See who they employ for advice. Anyway, one of the most famous myths about Ishtar describes her descent into the underworld. In this myth, Ishtar approaches the gates of the underworld and demands that the gatekeeper open them. If thou openest not the gate to let me enter, I will break the door. I will wrench the lock. I will smash the doorposts. I will force the doors. I will bring up the dead to eat the living. And the dead will outnumber the living. Sounds a lot like Revelations.
Yeah.
Except in Revelations, God is the one saying this. So who is your God of Revelations? Is it not a macrobe? Because this story is more ancient than your version in the Bible. However, it is almost verbatim. This story.
Yeah.
And basically, what you're looking at. Let's see. Okay. All right. The gatekeeper hurried to tell Ereshkigal, the queen of the underworld. Ereshkigal told the gatekeeper to let Ishtar enter, but according to the ancient decree, the gatekeeper let Ishtar into the underworld, opening one gate at a time. Each gate. Ishtar has to shed one article of clothing until she finally passes the seventh gate. She is naked. In rage, Ishtar throws herself at Ereshkigal, but Ereshkigal orders her servant Namtar to imprison Ishtar and unleash 60 diseases against her. Okay. Anyway, after Ishtar descends into the underworld, all sexual activity ceases on Earth. Now you have to understand these are ancient texts. They talk in parables and references. They call in all your ancient mythos and ancient stories, You know, they've all been converted to a single name to represent a race or a group of people. But in this particular case, since we're talking about God, a.k.a., you know, King of the Macrobes, one of them, this thing, it is its own entity. It is not represented by a race because it represents the race and it has been identified. So, and remember, there are other ones, too, that, you know, that behave in, you know, different ways, that have different tasks to move forward the agenda of the Macrobes. And this is something to keep in mind. If you want to look more into, you know, in, you know, modern interpretations of, you know, the Macrobes and stuff, look into the H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu Mythos Anthology and see what and see what they say. You know, you have to understand that you're talking about a it is fiction, but it was based on something legitimate, and this legitimate thing is like a macrobe T cell. Okay, so back to the monument that, you know, was put here in Oklahoma. Who the hell would do crazy shit like that? Who would do it? You know, this person has to be either 100% evil and totally whacked out of their mind, or they are complicit and are furthering the agenda of the Macrobes, and therefore they are an enemy of humanity. Now, who are these people? Well, they've been tracked down by law enforcement, actually, because, you know, they, you know, defaced, you know, private property, you know. So, anyway, you know, it's weird how things work out. But, anyway, our police went out and found the people in OKC. There's another article. I don't know exactly who the, you know, who runs this crazy ass site, but look at this. It's called io9.com, and the weird thing about this site is it says io9, we come from the future, and they covered this story. It said, meet the mysterious men behind Oklahoma's monument to Azathoth. And then, of course, they did it. But they use the police records to find these people and decided to interview them. The names of these people are Eric Piper and J. David Osborne. They aren't cultists that we know of, but they did build a 300-pound monument to the dark Lovecraftian god Azathoth, and left it in the lawn of the unsuspecting Paseo Grill in Oklahoma City 2 weeks ago. This is an older post. But curious whether this was some kind of art project or a sign of the end times in which humanity will descend into gibbering madness. We decided to get the answer straight from Piper Osborne themselves, or Piper and Osborne. Anyway, the Career Pippi is the name he made up for himself for Eric Piper. It's the same person.
Okay.
Osborne was kind of watching this as it all went down. Anyway, I'm gonna skip to some of the craziness that they're talking about. I'm not gonna read this through. This is my opinion, not I'm not covering all of it, okay? I'm not reading the entire article.
Yeah.
I'm doing my sidebar comments on this, okay? And I'm only reading select things out of it. You can take a look for yourself and get the whole scoop and make your own decisions.
I just pulled up the site. I'm looking at the site right now, and I'll put a link to that on Facebook, but it is io9.com. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Go ahead.
Okay, there's one section I'm saying, it says, why in the name of all the Dark Ones did you do this? Eric says, it's a statement on land ownership. Okay, well, let's assume that the Macrobes have been here since before us. Macrobes have claimed planet Earth and everyone on it as its property. And that's the galactic thing that's going on right now. The Macrobes own planet Earth, all right? You know, just like you own your piece of property that you built your house on. And no one can take it away from you because the law says it belongs to you. And you have that declaration, which you just happen to put on a piece of paper. But just remember, that piece of paper that you have can be burned, and then you have no proof that you own it. It's like the same thing that the Macrobes said, you know, the Macrobes did. You know, they just burn the proof by following the civilizations that are on it, and as they are in control of information, they dictate to all the other alien races, this is our AO, we own it. You don't come here without a special permit. So anyway, Eric says it's a statement on land ownership. Okay. Anyway, David says there is land and then there is concrete, and with that heaviness comes place, and with place comes the rulers, the owners. You plant your flag and flex your muscles, and the ground you walk becomes yours. Okay, which is kind of what the Macrobes did. You know, they conquered Earth, except they used natural events and other disharmonies between, you know, the Atlanteans, the Martians, and the Lemurians, and whoever else was here, you know, starting shit at that time, and basically blindsided every single one of them. And that's how they took over. Some people call this the Great Deluge, the Great Flood, when darkness came in and all that crap. Anyway, we were thinking in order to claim land, all you really need is enough concrete. Okay? And then the person said, fair enough, how did you make the monument? How did you make the monument? Eric says, I woke up from a week's worth of fever dreams, and the monument was finished. David said the fever dreams were the worst. I sat by the poor boy's bedside, waited on him hand and foot. Then I saw him get up from his stained sheets and build a pyramid from wood and mix in the concrete in a wheelbarrow and pour. And it shows, like, pictures of this, you know, because David was apparently taking pictures. But this guy is obviously, for some crazy reason, sick and having fever dreams. Okay? You said you set the monument, sat around before you moved it. What were you waiting for? Eric says, can't force things. It was just wasn't meant to go out before August 28th. You also said you moved it to this location with a forklift, and then, you know, they talk about how they moved it. But it shows more pictures of this. And it's like, why did you choose to set it at the specific location by the Paseo Grill? Anyway, Eric says it was a place of creative chaos back in the day. Unfortunately, a lot of the area has been gentrified to this gross, sterile, copy-paste business models. Okay, you know, I don't really care about, you know, any of that, the economic bullshit that he's talking about. But what I would like to point out is that, he hasn't talked to the people at the Paseo Grill. It says that. They didn't really check up on their thing, all right? And I refer you back to the fever dreams in which he, was basically acting like a zombie, making something to some sort of exact specifications, because Notice how it says 2012. It's not 2012. It's 2013, right?
Right.
And then not only that, it says it claimed this land for Azathoth. What is Azathoth? And you know, and then when we're talking about land ownership, you know, look at it in terms of macrobes. All right. In my opinion, macrobes were harassing this guy, and basically use this guy to further their agenda. And one of the things that it was doing was declaring which macrobe controlled a certain territory or part of or a part of the earth. Okay? That's what I think is going on here. Because you know, it's Lord Ishtar. That's the title. And it gave it to itself. Just remember that. It's that arrogant. Anyway, let's see. I'm going to move down. I'm going to move down a little bit. Let's see. All right. Has Azathoth given you any feedback about this stunt? Does this mean you get to be the last to die by his hand or something? Eric says, well, I haven't heard any pipes, but lately it's felt like my brain is slowly melting out of my head. And remember, he had fever dreams, you know, which made him sleepwalk to make this thing, basically. That's really what he's saying.
Right.
And then David says, it's really weird. There have been weird things, like an excess of weirdness. After we dropped the monolith, the world started spinning closer and closer together. A man in a bright red shirt stopped me in the alley and told me that I was Jesus and he was the devil and that he crucified me. That's something to keep in mind, because I think that guy that it was in the red shirt that he's talking about was a macrobe claiming it was Jesus and that you got crucified by him, the devil. But really it was a statement directed at him to mess with his mind. Plain and simple. At work, a woman poured all of the money from the take a penny dip by the register and told me she'd take all of it if I didn't give her back her son. And this is in a public place. The next day, the same woman walked in into the bonnet with her shirt rolled up and threatened to hurt the bartender and reached in for her tips and came around the bar. I hopped off my stool and shouted at her to get back. I swore a lot. The man in the orange pants came looking for me. I sat alone in the bar and wondered on the sudden influx of weirdness and couldn't make any sense of it. It says, I live by Griffin out there. They keep folks for a 3-day examination if they say they're going to harm themselves or others. Then... Right. They go, then they let them go, and they wander to the corner and find whether they can make a bit of money, blah, 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 blah. By asking the mutant cherubim lined up and down the block waiting on coffee and beer. Okay, so you listen to that madness. We walk and make little vibrations, then... Others are bigger, like the Devon building up the road. That monument was about as loud as we could yell, and I'll be damned if the touched didn't hear it. So who's he addressing there? People who know? People who are in the know? Anyway, these guys are basically artists. You know, think about that. Anyway, then they ask one final question. What has been your favorite part of this whole thing? Eric says, I liked people talking about it on the local news. David, oh, man, so much of it was fun. I thought, local news, nice. Then it kind of exploded. Then talks of aliens and evil demons inside of it was great. Also, the idea of several strong men could not have put it there. It was two weak-ass dudes amped up on adrenaline. And, physics, gravity. I think my favorite part of it was how quickly everyone caught on to Eric's involvement. The plaque says, Career Pippi claims blah, blah. And a ton of people were like, Career Pippi is an anagram for Eric Piper. Anyway, apparently there's some dude called Puzzle Master or some shit, and that says it in there, that figured it out quickly. Also, Eric got a lot of creepy emails from Lovecraft fans. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
so
if
you... Let me ask you this. When you... By the way, he's referring to... Well, this is an article that has to do with macros and an article off of the website IO9, and this all happened in Oklahoma City, but when it jumped out of you, I mean, what did it all make you think? I mean, what means the most to you about that whole article? What stands out? What is this preparing for? What are some things to look for? I mean, what's the most interesting thing you think about that article?
Me, or are you asking the listeners?
You.
Me? The big thing is because, macrobes, when they come in to physical form, they mess around with people's minds. They stare at you and use their so-called psychic powers to find out things about you, use your fears against you, and create madness within the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And when it says, Eric says, I woke up from a week's worth of fever dreams, and the monument was finished.
Right.
And you have somebody else watching this happen. There's three things wrong. One, you're making it to you're making a monument to an evil god. Two,
no kid.
You're doing it while you're sleepwalking. Three, you're sweating and having bad dreams. Okay? And then after you do that, then you have weird shit like people coming in and claiming a bunch of madness. And it's the same thing when I had the two macrobes that, came up to me at various different times.
Exactly.
Do kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So, the signs are all there, people. I'm trying to tell you the best way I can with stuff that's kind of, currently happening and that I've experienced myself. You're not getting
right.
necessarily a secondhand information here. This is out there. Some of it was even on the news.
These are two stories that you've shared recently, and there's going to be many more. You just got to look for it. Where to look, but be conscious and open your mind that it's real. I mean, you just got to keep your mind open and be prepared and do more research. And that's pretty scary stuff, really,
Right.
I'll have to go to that website and read more about it, look at the pictures and everything like that. But there's going to be, if anybody else, has any of those type of experiences, call in. Would love to hear the stories. Like I said, you told that story Friday night, one of the guys that called in, he was a witness, and then this is on a website, so there are probably many more stories. That's why we started the show. We're based here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and this show is for Okies and it's for anybody, but especially about this subject or any subject, but we really would like to hear from people in Oklahoma. And like you said, when we talked yesterday, you were saying there's more UFO activity here in Oklahoma than there's ever been. And you attribute that to what? More testing of 'cause of the Air Force base? Or why is there more UFO activity now in Oklahoma?
Yeah, a lot of one of the things that people don't realize is because you're so stuck on the past and you're so stuck on what has happened that you're always referencing it. You're living in the past, people. Okay, when it comes to this, experimental aircraft testing, everyone's been saying for years it happens at Area 51. It happens in Nevada or Arizona or New Mexico or whatever the hell it was you were saying. Well, you know, the people that do this, you know, this testing, you know, they're annoyed by you, all right? So, you know, if they have ungodly amounts of resources or they don't need money or anything like that to do this kind of stuff, keep this in mind. If you're pestering them, they're just going to move. Where do they move? Most of it has, or at least the more advanced stuff, has moved to Oklahoma. And you see a lot more testing type stuff going on here. But at the same time, this is the Bible Belt. People don't believe in aliens and stuff, and they're not looking up. So therefore, if an alien or interdimensional race wants to observe a small population, you know, with two good test sites for a large population, you know, cases in point, Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and then also different types of military bases, cases in point, Lawton and Fort Sill, and then also the Air Force Base, Tinker. All right.
Yeah.
If they want to observe something and have a good, you know, idea of, you know, for control, if they're running an experiment, observing things, this is like one of the best places. Period. Furthermore,
yeah.
It's forest and desert. You know, so they can, you know, and they don't have any skyscrapers or anything like that to worry about. It's open skies. But I don't know if anyone's noticed, but there are a ton more clouds as of late. You know, 10 years ago, you know, Oklahoma had no clouds. You know, very few. Unless it rained, there weren't any clouds. And when it did rain, there weren't, you know, like rain clouds like you see in other places. But then again, there is more moisture in the region now.
Uh-huh.
So, regardless of the droughts that have been happening or not, you know, your argument's invalid there. But, you know, and this year, you know, this is also something to keep in mind, is we've had a lot more rain here in Oklahoma than we have ever had.
Yeah.
And that's just so far.
Right.
So, anyway,
if they want to, they can put all those chemtrails up there, and then that'll block. If there's really something they're wanting to hide, that's a perfect way to do it, is bring in clouds so we can't see what's going on in the skies anyway.
Yep.
But anyway,
so,
real quick, hey, you can continue to talk about macros, whatever you want to talk about, but. In our notes from the other night, and it's been since Friday night, we were supposed to do shift Saturday night, and something happened anyway. But in your notes, you had that you want to talk about also the asteroid belt.
Yeah, that's right.
And then also book recommendations, the Oklahoma Paranormal Convention, Fred Durst, and the Fake Alien Invasion. all terrific topics, so I just thought I'd bring those to your attention again. I'm going to back off the mic and let you do what you do, Blue Chef.
Okay. All right, we'll start with my book recommendations. How about that?
Okay.
Not really going to be what you guys are expecting considering the topics, but
right.
Nevertheless, more relevant than anything else in your little small world. Let's make it bigger. How about that? Okay,
sure.
I have two book recommendations, and they go hand in hand. I haven't read these books, you know, because, you know, I've got other things to do. But, you know, I do have the books, and I recommend that people invest in them.
Yeah.
And do it. They're not too expensive, you know. You know, get yourself, get yourself $20 and you'll be good.
Okay.
The first book is called The Law of Attraction and Other Secrets of Visualization by Dr. Laurel Clark. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I highly recommend that you guys purchase this book and read through it very carefully. Just a little bit of about Dr. Laurel Clark. Dr. Laurel Clark is a friend of the Oklahoma School of Metaphysics. There's one in Oklahoma City and in Tulsa.
Yeah.
You know, so we got two School of Metaphysics here in Oklahoma. Later on, I'm going to have the School of Metaphysics come on as a guest here on the show.
Great.
So that's something you have to look for, and possibly even Dr. Laurel Clark herself, as she is a friend of the School of Metaphysics as well.
Wow, awesome.
Anyway, let me give you a I'm going to read something from the back of this. People who are successful draw upon the infallible power of the subconscious mind. Now you can too. The Law of Attraction and Other Secrets of Visualization teaches you how to access your creative mind to produce health, well-being, understanding, abundance, and better relationships for yourself and those you love. Join those who know that good fortune is not a matter of chance. It comes from harmonizing with the universal law. All right, so that's book one. And when you're done with that, then there's another book called The Intender's Handbook, from the Intenders of the Highest Good Group. It's a guide to the intention process and the conscious community. This is written by Tony Buros, which is a T-O-N-Y. Buroughs. Once again, this is the Intender's Handbook. It's like 60-something pages. It's like 60-something, almost about 70 pages. It's a little booklet. On the back it says $4.
Wow.
It says on the back, it says, the intenders are on the fast track. We don't dwell on dramas. We transmute them by going directly to the positive side of every issue and intending exactly how we desire things to come out. We share our dreams instead of our dramas. Philip Moore, that was his quote. Then there's another quote, simple and empowering. This is one of the best books on the planet by Lee Ching. That was his quote.
We will have I will post those books on the Facebook page also.
Yep. It says it's published by Highest Lighthouse, www.intenders.com.
Okay.
So I haven't actually been to the website, but I got the book, you know.
Okay. What is going on with the asteroid belt?
Okay. The asteroid belt. Okay. Well, a lot of you are probably wondering what would the asteroid belt have to do with macrobes? Well, you know, maybe I don't know the origins of it now. Eventually, I'll probably figure it out. But I'll tell you one thing that I do know. Is macrobes are floating around in space like damn space invaders. And one of the places that I know they hang out is the asteroid belt. Why would they hang out in the asteroid belt? It's very simple. If you want to make planet Earth submit to God, all you have to do is make something divine happen, like an asteroid or a comet fall from the sky. Okay, and if these things exist in the millions, and they're floating up there, and they can, and they are physical, then they can manipulate these asteroids, which some crazy how happen to be all organized into a fucking line. All
right?
Anyway.
Right. And by the way, real quick, there is going to be, it was found last week, but there's going to be an asteroid that's going to pass between the moon and Earth September 18th, 2 days from now. And by the way, if you're looking for information about asteroids, once again, it's a great site, point of reference for X-rays and solar flares and things like that. That's spaceweather.com. I'll put that on the Facebook page. But so macrobes like to hang out in the asteroid belt.
Yeah. For a very simple reason, you know, these things like to cause fear, terror, and panic, right? So some of them are here on Earth, you know, doing whatever they're doing and terrorizing us, starting wars and all that kind of craziness. And then there are those that are just sitting around, floating around, collecting information on people like me and, you know, whoever else is going against their dark plans. Control the Godman, and then the majority of them, as far as I know, are, you know, floating around in the solar system near the asteroid belt, because the asteroid belt is a very powerful weapon if you can move those asteroids.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, you just pick some small ones out and, you know, pick a target and, you know, being a computer, they can make them hit wherever they want. That's something to keep in mind. Let me go to another topic regarding the asteroid belt. And asteroids and macrobes controlling asteroids.
There you go.
Okay. And this is a really good reference because, you know, now it's not just me, you know, crazy old me saying stuff on Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Now this is somebody with some damn credibility. And you just have to kind of make the connection here, but it does require a little bit of effort. You know, it does require looking into, but it's not hard.
Right.
Because someone else is doing the talking. just have to shut the fuck up and learn. Valerie Uvarov, as I had mentioned earlier, the Russian guy in charge of the UFOs in the military intelligence organization in Russia.
Yeah.
He talks about, in some interviews, that... there are these things called Terminators. It is referred to in popular culture as the Tower of Ancients, okay?
Okay.
Which is basically a ray gun that blasts incoming objects that are dangerous to the planet. Okay? That's the short version. Even the spirit science references it in the Human History movie. What happened in the Human History movie was there was a disharmony needed to be created by the macrobes, okay? So what they did was they went after the people who were basically calmed down at the time, the Martians, all right? So they dropped an asteroid on the Martians right where they were living. Okay? The Martians wanted to shoot it down, but the Atlanteans said, no, it's in divine order. Because the Atlanteans were confused by the macros. And then their disharmonious counterparts, the Martians, decided that, you know, after almost being wiped out by an asteroid, that they refused that the Atlanteans refused to let them shoot down, but agreed upon to just let it go anyway, just so happened to land right where they were living. Well, it pissed them off, and it made them try to rise up and create more disharmony so the macrobes could feed off of them. Furthermore, the macrobes also came in on this asteroid. You know, now I refer you back to, you know, so it was like a triple whammy. Atlanteans confused, Martians pissed off, conflict starts, and macrobes come in again and again on these asteroids. Belaruvarev talks about the Terminators, a.k.a. the Tower of Ancients, created by probably the Martians is my best guess, but it could have been another alien race as well. And how do I explain this? Okay, you have Belaruvarev talking about the Terminators. The Terminator he described was built there by another alien race to destroy bacteria, I think is what he said. I don't quote me on that one. Or dangerous bacteria that could come in on an asteroid. Okay? So are you following that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, now are you following my logic with the human history movie and the macrobes and how they actually get here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That being said, I described what a macrobe was earlier. A macrobe is like a microbe. It's like an amoeba, and amoebas can potentially cause serious health concerns, like a bacteria, you know? So if you're making that correlation, microbe, bacteria, macrobe,
right.
Psycho-spiritual parasite, a.k.a. bacteria to the God-man. And so, therefore, what Belaruvarev told you was these towers that protect at least their area in Russia and China, all right, this ancient laser tower, which is actually it blasts shit into another dimension is really what it does, but it protects those areas of the world. There are other areas of the world which do not necessarily have these grid systems anymore. Because they have been destroyed by one war or another or for various other reasons. But it's still up and running, and I refer you to Belaruvarev's work, all of it, that's public. Because being public, it's sanctioned by Russia's government, you know, which is, you know, pretty shitty on our government's behalf because, you know, Russia's leading the way. And in my personal opinion, Russia is going to be the spiritual capital of the world in the near future. While we're trying to rebuild civilization here, and elsewhere.
Yeah.
But like I said, Russia is a Masonic country. It's run by Masons. You know, they've pretty much, you know, taken over there. So, you know, you do have that to look forward to. You know, they will help us out.
It's been great talking to you tonight. I appreciate your input as always. Speaking of looking forward to, what do we have to look forward to Friday night? More back robes?
Perhaps, maybe how about weapons to use against macrobes?
Sounds great. Thanks for listening tonight. Good night, everyone.